Hello, my name is Lily Chaudhry, and you're listening to Happiness Now, Secrets to Success from the East and West. This podcast is about empowering us to achieve happiness and success in every aspect of life, and we'll discover some of the wisdom that's found in different cultures about this topic. These talks are based on the works of Gossam Ali Shah. He's a renowned teacher, trainer, and motivational speaker for the past 15 years based in Lahore, Pakistan. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about how we can turn our weaknesses into our strengths. We'll look at the real meaning of weakness and then learn how to accept our own weaknesses. And then we'll discuss some tips on how to make this turn of converting our weaknesses into strengths. And along the way, we'll talk about some amazing modern-day stories of people who took this journey. Gossam Ali Shah starts off his talk explaining how his view of weaknesses and disadvantaged people has changed over the years. His field of work has taken him to teach tens of thousands of people all across Pakistan and neighboring countries. His students come from diverse socioeconomic backgrounds, from millionaire CEOs to kids living in the slums. And his view of people and their abilities has changed along the way. At one point in his life, he used to think that a healthy, able person was someone with a fit body, a fit mind, but his many years of teaching and training have taught him otherwise. There are those people who apparently have a handicap and look weak, but actually they are fully capable and strong because they have overcome their weaknesses. Gossam Ali Shah says the truly disabled person is the one who hasn't made any good use of what God's given him. Our weaknesses are those things about us that we find overly difficult. They are sometimes de-energizing, maybe something we do poorly. They leave us feeling bad and lacking in motivation. So when any of us look at ourselves and we see a weakness, whatever it may be, maybe we're struggling financially, maybe we're in a failing relationship, or we're lonely, or both, or maybe we have health problems, some kind of physical sickness or a disability, or mental health issues. Maybe we have demons or pain from our past or childhood that still haunts us. Whatever our weaknesses are, they can be used as the basis of our strength. In my own life, I feel like I've really been blessed. I can't say that I've experienced real trauma or hardship, but there were different times in my life that were difficult for one reason or another. Growing up, other than having a really harsh mom to deal with, I think a big challenge that I had was that I grew up in small town America, Hagerstown, Maryland. That's where I went to middle school and high school, and I was the only brown person there, definitely the only Asian, the only Muslim, and the only non-white or non-black. So although I had some good friends, I always felt a bit of an outsider. We didn't celebrate Christmas. I had to fast during Ramadan. I usually smelled like spices. And I had to always explain to kids why I can't wear shorts like everyone else on the tennis team, or why I don't eat bacon or candies with gelatin in them. Muslims don't eat pork. But I never felt unsafe or hatred or anything like that. I genuinely like my friends, and I'm sure they like me too. But it was just that feeling like I was a stranger. I often felt that I didn't have that close bond with other kids, that connection. And I guess that just goes with the territory of being from a different country and a different religion than everyone else. But as an adult now, I feel like my differences, my culture, my religion has often been my strength. After 9/11, many people in the U.S. of brown color or Muslim faith felt a backlash. And since over 99% of us are not terrorists, it was a very sad time for us as well. But we had to start becoming like spokesperson for our religion. I was working in corporate America, and I started getting more questions than ever before about Islam from my colleagues. And I didn't mind at all. In fact, I think it was a learning experience for them as well as for myself. I realized that because I grew up in a totally Muslim-free area, I could totally relate to how these folks at my jobs were feeling. They were confused and they didn't know what Islam is about. And I didn't take it personally. I was just explaining my culture and my religion, much like I had to do while I was growing up. And I'd done it 100 times before in my life. And now as an adult, I feel I can use my experience to settle people's curiosity and fears. Gossam Ali Shah says the truly weak person is the one who doesn't make good use of what God has given him. Okay, so before we get into making that turn, let's discuss why we might have these difficulties, these weaknesses in our life in the first place. First, let's establish the fact that our presence in this world means that we matter. God cares about us enough to put us here. And if we weren't important enough or didn't matter or didn't have a purpose or reason to be placed in the world, He, the most wise, the all-knowing, would not have created us. Each one of us has a different role to play, and there are no two people in this world who have done the exact same things in their lives ever. And if we all have a different role, it means we'll have different abilities and resources. A person with some deficiency or weakness is not any less important than any other person. They simply have a different role to play. Many of the most seemingly disabled people have done extraordinary things. So how can we accept these weaknesses in our lives? How can we deal with them? Well, I want to talk about a man named Nicholas James Vujicic. He's an Australian Christian who was born with phycomyelia. It's a rare disorder where the baby is born without some limbs. So Nick was born without any arms or legs. When he was born, his mom first refused to see him or touch him. But eventually his parents accepted him as part of God's plan. And I would encourage you to Google him and see his pictures and talks. It is awe-inspiring to see his courage and strength. As a child, Nick had trouble getting into mainstream school, but because of his parents' efforts, laws were changed and Nick was allowed to be the first child with such severe physical disabilities to be allowed into mainstream public schools in Australia. But because of some bullying and depression, Nick did attempt suicide as a young adult. But one day when his mom showed him an article about a man dealing with another severe disability, it changed his outlook on life. He started giving talks at his local church prayer group. His faith in God became stronger, and he recognized his purpose, his role, which Nick thought was to become successful and use that to inspire others. He became active in sports and was elected captain of the student council and was involved in raising funds for charity and disability campaigns. And he graduated college at the age of 21 with a Bachelor of Commerce degree with a double major. Today, Nick is a Christian evangelist and probably the most influential Australian speaker alive. Although he has no limbs, he has two small deformed feet with toes that were surgically created. And he can write with a pen, he can use a phone, he can play the drums, and he works on computers using his heel and toe. And he's even learned to swim and skydive. And he's even written several books. His first book, Life Without Limits, Inspiration for a Ridiculously Good Life, has been translated into more than 30 languages. Nick writes, I love living life. I think that's the first condition to achieve happiness, is loving to live. So if you look at Nick's life and see when he started making that turn, turning his weakness into strength, he realized he was not the only one who had a weakness. He stopped feeling sorry for himself. He accepted his weakness and he started focusing on changing and improving things that were in his control and stopped caring about those things that were out of his control. And he started doing something with his life. And this is important for all of us to understand. There are things that we can change and there are things that we can't. And once we accept what our weaknesses are, we can move forward with our life goals. Nick says, God's given me the grace, strength, and comfort through my disability. And you can have victory, peace, and joy in your life, even through your circumstances. In 2012, Nick got married, and since then, him and his wife have had two sons, and the four of them live a successful and happy life in Southern California. Gosamali Shah stresses that once we learn the necessary lessons during the difficult times and not lose faith in God, He fills our lives with countless blessings. There's a verse in Islamic scripture where God says, "Be grateful to me and I'll give you more." So we always have a choice how we respond to our weaknesses or difficulties. On this topic, self-development guru, the late Dr. Wayne Dyer wrote, "Be miserable or motivate yourself. Whatever has to be done, it's always your choice." Okay, so let's now move on how we can actually start to turn our weaknesses into strengths. And there are two parts to this. The first is changing our attitude, being more positive. And then we'll go through some practical tips to help us along. So first, we have to change our attitudes. We have to change the way that we view our weakness. And here are a few gems about that. So number one, many times when we're in some kind of difficulty, we are so fully focused on the pain and distress of our challenge or difficulty that sometimes we're overwhelmed with self-pity and we don't see the lessons that we could be learning from it. Most life lessons are learned after we come out of our darkest days. So the sooner we'll come out of them, the sooner we'll start learning. Number two, we sometimes forget that God has the best plan for us, and our failures are many times God's way of preparing us for victories. Gautam Elisha gives the example of someone trying to jump across a ditch. We might have to go way back, turn around, take a running start to gain some force before we can jump. So our weaknesses, our challenges, our hardships are like that run-up, where we're just gaining momentum for the actual jump. The run-up will not last forever. Our jump is coming, and so is our celebration after achieving it. Number three, and this is my favorite, Gautam Elisha says that sometimes when God doesn't give us those things that we want, it's a sign that we're being treated in a special way, and that God is preparing us for something bigger and better. There's a legendary love story of Layla and Majnu, and it originates in Persia, but it's a tale very well known to practically everyone in Southeast Asia, India and Pakistan. Everybody knows about this. It's based on a real man named Qais. Qais and his young love, Layla, were deeply in love, but her father refused to let Qais marry his daughter, but this only increased his intense love for her. He would write poetry about her, always reciting her name. He became known as Majnu, or Madman, by the local people because of this. Layla and Majnu had many sad incidents that often reflect deep and undying love of two people kept apart, much like Romeo and Juliet, I guess. But Layla ended up getting married to someone her father arranged for her, and she moved away. When Majnu heard of her marriage, he left the village and began to wander through the desert. He could be heard reciting poetry or writing in the sand. His family gave up on getting him home and would often just leave food for him in the wilderness. Years later, Layla died from a disease. Some people said she died over the heartbreak of Majnu. In 688 AD, Majnu was found dead near Layla's grave. He had written poetry about her on a nearby rock. Okay, so very, very sad story, but there is a reason for me torturing you with this tragedy. I had to show you just how deep this love was before I made my point. So it's the amazing way that Majnu approached life that is something that we can actually connect with and learn from. And there are many incidents, but we'll discuss one. So one day, this is before Layla got married, she was distributing food to the poor people in the village. There was a long line, and she was at the door of her palace, putting the food in people's bowls as they came to the door. Majnu was in the line, hoping to see a glimpse of his beloved. So when he came to the front, Layla was surprised, and in her nervousness, she threw the bowl from his hand, and it broke to pieces. But his reaction was amazing. He was ecstatic. His eyes filled with water, with tears of joy, and he started dancing. People started making fun of him, saying that he was crazy. But Majnu said to them, "Look, my beloved treated me differently than all of you." So the lover always has reasons to celebrate the manner in which his beloved is treating him, even if it appears cruel and difficult. So Gautam Elisha says that if we proclaim to love God, then we should be able to embrace God's special treatment of us. Another verse from Islamic tradition says, when God loves a person, he tests them. Okay, so now let's run through a few practical tips that'll help us to turn our weakness into a strength. The first is just recognizing and accepting our weakness. We can't gain anything if we're just busy denying that we have the weakness in the first place. Number two, having a goal. Start thinking of what we want to do in our life. Then use our strengths to connect to that goal. And number three, we maximize our strengths for growth and development. Our strengths are the things that we perform well, we enjoy doing, and we may or may not be using these things often enough. If we want to turbocharge our growth and development, we have to start focusing on our strengths and using them more often. Number four, seeking guidance. Sometimes getting another person's advice can help us see clearly what our weaknesses and strengths are and help us to make better decisions. Number five, making careful use of our resources, and this includes everything, time, money, energy. Number six, hiring the skills that we lack. So the best approach is always to focus on what we do best and then let others take care of the rest. And number seven, don't seek perfection. Trying our best and being persistent will get us farther than seeking perfection. And number eight, and probably the most important, is looking for ways to serve others with the same weakness. And that takes us to two amazing stories of people who did just that. Two real-life examples of people who use these principles in their life, and they turned their weaknesses into strength. And before we get into their stories, let's remember God makes us weak so that we can become stronger. He gives us grief so that we can become more grateful for the joys. so that we can not only strive for affluence, but also value it. And it gives us the disability, changes our roles, and blesses us with power to understand the plight of others in a similar situation and help those even more challenged than us. The first man I'm going to talk about, unfortunately, many Americans have never heard of, but in his lifetime, and he only died last year, he was probably the biggest humanitarian alive. The late Abdul Sattar Eidhi was known in Pakistan as the richest poor man. He devoted his entire life to helping the poor and needy. He was born in 1928 in Gujarat, India, and he was born in poverty. Yet, he was taught from a very young age to help others. As a child, his mom would always give him 2 coins, one to spend on himself and one to give away to someone in need. At the age of 19, his mother fell ill, and he ended up taking care of her as best he could, but she soon died. Her death made him realize that there are so many people who have nobody to look after them in their time of need, and he decided to make that his life's mission. After the partition of India in 1947, he migrated to Pakistan and he settled in Karachi. He started working in a small market and he would use his earnings equally on himself and on the poor around him. Soon the flu was taking the lives of many in Southeast Asia and he saw bodies on the street with nobody to bury them. He decided that he would help. He would sit on the markets and beg for help, collecting alms for others in need. In 1951, when he had earned enough money, he got a small room and set up a medical dispensary for the poor, and he started the Eidhi Foundation. A few years later, he collected enough charity to buy his first ambulance, which he would drive around himself to serve others. He married, and his wife Bilkis became his partner in helping those in need. She even has many of their charitable branches in her name, Bilkis Eidhi. Today, the Eidhi Foundation has the world's largest volunteer ambulance service, with over 1,800 ambulances across Pakistan, and it's the largest charity in the country. It has over 350 welfare centers across the region, from orphanages, nursing homes, care facilities for the mentally ill, food kitchens, shelters for women and the elderly, 24-hour medical dispensaries, maternity clinics, a missing persons hotline, and the list goes on. In Pakistan, many babies are abandoned if born out of wedlock or born with defects or born to very impoverished families or even if it's a female baby. So Eidhi centers across the country all have cribs outside their facilities to try to save these unwanted babies. And without any questions or judgments until today, the Eidhi Foundation has rescued over 20,000 abandoned babies, many of whom were left in these cribs. The foundation has cared for over 50,000 orphans. Most of them end up with families who adopt them. They've trained over 40,000 nurses. In Pakistan, a father's name is needed for every child in order to get a government-issued ID. And over the years, Eidhi has used his name as the father for hundreds of thousands of kids. At the time of his death last year, Eidhi was the legal guardian of over 20,000 children. And all of the funding for the Eidhi Foundation comes from charity contributions, mostly from the people of Pakistan, and all services are given for free. Eidhi himself would make a conscious effort to tell people that all his services are for people of every religion and background, and he would not discriminate against anybody. The Eidhi Foundation even helps worldwide. The international chapters of the foundations can be found in the US, Canada, Afghanistan, Nepal, and the Middle East. For the victims of Hurricane Katrina, the Eidhi Foundation donated $100,000. In his life, Eidhi lived a simple and almost ascetic life. He was known to only have 2 sets of clothing. Him and his family always lived in a small apartment next to his office. During his life, he would never go out of his home, on the street, in the market, anywhere, without people rushing to give him money. He would come home with his long shirt folded over, filled with rupees. People loved and trusted him so much, and they knew for sure that their money would be used to help those in need. His poor background and his taking care of his dying mother taught him many things. It taught him how to ask for donations, how to relate to the plight of the destitute, how to take care of others. And he turned his weakness into his greatest strength. He was indeed the richest poor man. Abdul Sattar Eidhi died last year at the age of 88. Even at the time of his death, he wanted to help others and wanted to donate his organs. Only his eyes were healthy enough to be donated. Today, as I'm recording this, it's February 28th, 2017, and it's his birthday. He would have been 89 today. Here are some of his most inspiring quotes. "I don't have any formal education. What use is education when we don't become human beings? My school is the welfare of humanity." He says, "Empty words and long praises don't impress God. Show him your faith by your deeds." And those who believed in changing the world were either hungry by circumstance or practiced deprivation by choice. The Ether Foundation motto is live and help live. Donations can be made at www.ethi.org, but for some reason, the website always has issues. But they have a branch in New York, and you can send a check to Ethi Foundation, 4316 National Street, Flushing, New York, 11368. The next story I wanted to share was that of Jason Aristobal, who was born in 1983 in Cali, Colombia, one of the poorest parts of the city in South America. And he was born with cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy is caused by abnormal development or damage to the parts of the brain that control movement, balance, and posture. It's a group of permanent movement disorders that appear in early childhood. The symptoms can vary amongst people, but most often the person will have poor coordination, stiff or weak muscles. So there might be problems with sensation, vision, walking, hearing, swallowing, and speaking. When he was a young boy, a doctor told his mother that he would amount to nothing. But Jason had his family support and a mother who did everything to push him to achieve things like normal kids and to give him independence. She took him to doctor's appointments and got him the surgeries that he needed whenever they could come up with the money. They took him to physical therapy. He went to a normal school and he worked hard to keep up, and he thrived and became class president. Even with his own physical challenges in movement and speech, he can now walk, he can drive, and he can speak clearly enough so people can understand him. He realized that not all disabled kids had this type of opportunity to grow and learn. The culture in Colombia stigmatizes handicapped children, and their families are told that their kids are a punishment to them. And as a young man, one day Jason went to the house of a very poor family and he saw a disabled boy who had spent the entire 8 years of his life in bed. He knew then that he had to do something. He had to help kids like this. So he started collecting and distributing wheelchairs so that these kids could at least move. Then he wanted to provide physical therapy and started with just one ball and one mat in his parents' garage, and he found a final year physical therapy student to help him. He started with 20 kids, but the numbers kept growing until they were using the entire house for the kids' therapy classes. He eventually opened a center with the help of donations, and today his foundation, Asidio Val, which is an acronym that translates to the Association of Disabled People of the Valley, has been running for 16 years, and it's a haven for thousands of disabled children of various complex medical conditions, including autism, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, and more. The center offers physical therapy and speech therapy. Many kids have learned to walk here. The center has a school. Many of these kids have never even been to school. And they're given free meals because most of these kids come from very poor homes and they don't get proper nutrition. And it's almost a second home for the kids and their families. And they also have a wheelchair distribution program and have given over 500 wheelchairs to kids who can now leave their homes, go to the park, and they're able to move around. Jason is also working hard to change the perception of disabled children in his country. He wants parents and others to know that these kids may have challenges, but they have talent and they can learn and grow just like other kids. Jason is currently in law school and he hopes to change the laws in Colombia to get better treatment for the disabled kids in his country. This year, Jason received the CNN Hero of the Year Award in New York, which has given him funding to advance his cause. But donations can be made directly to his organizations or to caringforcolombia.org. Qasem Ali Shah concludes with reminding us that one of the greatest ways to turn our weakness into strength is to be grateful to God for what we have. Being grateful is not just a verb, it's an act. If we feel grateful, we will live grateful. And a person who's truly grateful to God carries a certain positive energy with him, and he emits positivity, and he attracts positivity in the form of sincere friends and rich opportunities to grow and so on. A grateful person praises more than criticizes. A grateful person appreciates more than complains. So turning weakness into strengths means turning our failures into success. As Nick puts it, stop searching for miracles and be a miracle yourself. So today we discuss weaknesses, how to accept them in our lives, turning them to strengths, and then looked at some amazing examples of people who have done just this. I hope today's episode has inspired all of us to use our difficulties as a source of courage to drive ourselves to the success that we want to achieve. Stephen Hawking once said, "However difficult life may seem, there is always something you can do and succeed at." Thank you so much for joining us today. We truly appreciate each and every one of you tuning in. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please share it with others on Facebook or Twitter. And of course, please feel free to share your comments and questions with us. You can message us through our website, www.happinesspodcast.com, or send us a message on Facebook. And until next time, I'm Lily Chaudhary. Please take care and take control.